Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Handler. Welcome to Life Will Be the Death of Me, a production of iHeartRadio.
Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning, Chelsea.
Did you sleep over last night?
I did.
Oh.
We cuddled.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, everybody. It's Thursday. I had a new documentary come out this week called Hello Privilege. It's me, Chelsea, which is streaming on Netflix. Brandon, did you watch it?
I have.
Mm-hmm. You have?
Yes, I've seen multiple iterations of it, and then I did watch the final
version.
Okay,
and what was your takeaway?
That we're all inherently privileged. I mean, that was from the beginning of watching the process, is that you don't think of your skin color as providing you something that it does.
What resonates with me the most is the unconscious bias, the stuff that we grow up with, the stuff that we are kind of made to believe is true.
Totally.
Or these ideas that are inculcated in our mind, this system of, you know, a zero-sum game kind of thing where you have to be doing better than everyone else around you. And in order to do that, you have to keep people down.
Yeah.
And I think unconscious bias is something that all of us can relate to because we are judgmental. Whether we act on it is one thing. But it's okay to admit that you have stereotypes in your head about people. That's all right, I believe, because then you can begin the process of unfurling those stereotypes and those judgments against people. Or, you know, I know personally I felt superiority in my life, not to just people of color, to all people, just because of my position in life. I've definitely had moments where I felt superior to someone, you know, and I had to undress that in a big way because there is nothing that is superior about one person over another.
You can see it in the documentary at times too, where it's uncomfortable to acknowledge those things. And that's why people don't want to do it. They don't want to acknowledge their privilege or the things that they're provided or your bias towards a certain group of people. And until you do, and until you make yourself uncomfortable, you're not going to get better. Like, we're not going to get better.
Yeah. And
as
I think
people.
Yes, exactly. And the thing that everybody says is they don't like to get involved. They don't want to deal with conflict, like when anything's uncomfortable. And I would argue it is our business to make ourselves uncomfortable. We owe that.
Yeah.
To everyone we've discriminated against as a white culture. We owe that to be uncomfortable.
Yes. And to go directly to the source and ask the questions that it's so interesting because I see a lot of the feedback on your social media about people saying that you always put yourself in these uncomfortable positions of no one wants to sit down and talk about something that is, one, difficult, but two, that is a poor reflection on a larger group of people, that all white people have a lot of work to do to make up for the discrimination, for the bias that they have over minorities. And you're willing to do that. And it really, I think, you know, a lot of people are commenting that they want to put themselves in those positions as well.
Yeah.
Because that's how we're going to progress.
Yeah. And it is our onus. It is upon white people to deal with this problem. We cannot place it on people of color to fix the situation that we created.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really thrilled with all the feedback. I will be putting up books and actionable ways that you can get involved if you want to do something, which I hope you do, on my Instagram stories, on my social media platforms. And I want to continue this discussion because obviously I will make more documentaries and I am just getting started on this subject matter. So I would love everybody to give me their feedback because the more you know, the more you grow, Brandon.
Right. And now you're growing into something else. So the documentary wrapped up and you kind of put all of your attention, finished the book, the documentary, and now the cannabis line.
Wow, look at my producer just bringing it full circle. Brandon, we are just a fine couple, aren't we?
We are a dynamic duo, aren't we?
We are. Things are really gelling around here.
Yeah, really.
So we have an announcement about my weed line. I guess all of you guys have been hearing about all the vaping issues. And obviously, I am not ever going to put out a product that I don't feel confident about being good for my customers and safe. So we are going back to the drawing board because I don't want any chemicals in my vape pens.
You are very adamant about this.
Well, of course.
I want everyone to understand. Well, because from this process, we've found other companies may not have the same
ethos. Right. Ethically, it is very important to take out all the chemicals like acetate E and polyethylene glycol and polyethylene glycol. I probably said that wrong. And vegetable oils. This is all information you guys don't need to know, but me, as starting this brand, I won't do it. So I am postponing the launch of my weed line, which was supposed to be in November, just in time for the holidays. We are shooting for February now, and that's the reason why. So I just want you to know that I am working hard on this to make this as pleasurable, but more importantly, as safe as possible for when my brand launches in February. And when it does, you'll know about it. So just so FYI, we recorded this episode a few weeks ago because we had one of my partners, Anna Ray from NorCal, which is the company I partnered with for my cannabis line, and my sissy manager, partner, sister, brother, mother, father, sissy. Well, first, Allison, let's just talk about our history, first of all. Allison is Irving's daughter.
Yes.
Irving is my nugget. He's my manager from when I quit E and forgot
Irving
to tell everybody.
Daughter.
Irving and Shelley's daughter, right. Shelley is part of the Los Angeles Mafia. And if you run into her, just watch your back. Irving was my manager when I left E, and I forgot to tell E that I was leaving. So I needed a manager to deal with them because they got pissed at me. I always forget to do things like that. Anyway, so he's been my manager since then. And then Allison can even join the team. Well, you did my 7-Up commercial.
Yeah.
And we did any endorsement, branding stuff I do with Allison.
I started on all the brand stuff. And
yeah.
Then we had a love affair.
Then we decided that Irving Azoff is, well, old. And Allison is young and a newer, improved version of
and- And she likes weed.
And she loves weed. Irving won't yeah. smoke weed. This is Irving.
We did get him stoned once.
We did, yeah.
When we went to
Palm
Coachella
Springs.
When he had Steely Dan playing there.
Yeah, we got him high once and
once.
He fell asleep at the table.
He drove the golf cart into the... Remember he went forward
in the golf cart
instead of backwards?
But we got him stoned the other time and he fell asleep right at the table.
Yeah.
That was stupid. Yeah. But there's no point in getting him stoned. He's too old to enjoy it. I like old men, though, that do want to get stoned. That's what I'm into.
Yeah.
You know, anybody who doesn't smoke pot is kind of hard for me to take seriously or take edibles. Like, if they're not down, then it's almost like that screams to me uptight.
Controlling. A little, just like not wanting to lose control.
You like people that are open.
Yeah. You want to be, you want to be open-minded, not closed-minded. I don't want fixed opinions about anything. Like, I like to change my mind all the time.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Thank goodness.
Brandon,
I
would bite your tongue
I think
right
she's
now.
Very...
you. And I'm here with Anna Ray, who's from NorCal, which is the company I partner with for my weed line. So we're here to discuss cannabis today and my passion for it and my new cannabis line, which Allison is in charge for introducing me to NorCal. So she's my little nugget manager. Anna Ray, can you tell us what your position is, who you are, how we met?
Sure. I am the chief compliance officer for NorCal Cannabis.
That's my partner.
Yes, we are partners. And at NorCal Cannabis, what I do is I do public affairs. So I talk with government officials and elected officials about the cannabis industry and try to make it so that the legal framework is something that works for everybody and that the industry can flourish. I also oversee all of our licenses, so I make it possible for us to operate our business and get to make great products that we can bring to all of you. And I have been in cannabis for about 15 years, so I have really dedicated my whole professional career to this vision of creating long-term, substantive, real opportunities in cannabis for people because it really has changed my life in a way that I haven't been able to get away from it. It's just cannabis has followed me. It's had a tremendous impact on my opportunities, on my vision, on my direction, and it put me through grad school. So what we're building now with NorCal is basically the dream realized of what I've been trying to work on manifesting for a really long time. And so It's really exciting. The company is growing. We have tremendous partners like you, Chelsea, that are a part of what we're doing. And it's just, it feels like there's nothing that we can't do.
And I'd also just like to add, because I work so closely with the NorCal team, that you guys have incredible talent, that you're bringing in such amazing people. And I've been just so, you know, such a pleasant surprise to see how professional everyone is and how legit everyone is. And you are bringing over talent from places like, you know, Twitter and Airbnb and like all of these other categories where people are really smart and having thriving careers and are leaving those stable categories and coming into cannabis because it is so real and because it's becoming, it will be legalized nationally sooner than later. And it's just an awesome learning experience, especially for me in what I do on a daily basis, to meet the team and see the people that you guys are bringing over to NorCal.
It's been a tremendous honor to, as we've grown the company, for people to want to join us who have never been a part of the cannabis industry before. And it, to me, it speaks a lot about what we have accomplished, that people decided that they were willing to leave behind something that was more conventional and try something else. But one of the things that's also neat about our company is that we really were founded by people who have been in this for a long time. And so a core group of us really are carrying a flag about the heritage of the cannabis industry and the culture that we've created in California. And we look at this dynamic that we're creating of sort of the rootsy OGs and the new people who are coming in from marketing and tech as creating a really dream team for us to be able to be able to stay authentic and humble to where we came from, but also to be able to take on a lot of the other big influences that are going to be coming in and do something that's really impactful.
I didn't know we were supposed to get stoned for this episode. I was trying to clean out my system because Anna Ray, you told me, or someone from NorCal told me, in order to maintain a level of shit, to maintain
like a low tolerance,
right, a solid baseline. Thank
you. Yes, you just need to be high all the time, and then you can just be extremely functional.
Well, my problem is that I have such a high tolerance that the weed is just going through me. Like, it's not having any impact. So I needed to take, someone from your team told me to take either one day a week off of cannabis or one week a quarter. And I don't know how
that
to divide
right.
quarters. So I just started taking a day a week off.
Also taking a week off.
But that isn't today, right?
No. Well, I just took a THC capsule that somebody gave to me at one of my shows on tour. It's 10 milligrams of THC, and they get you pretty fucked up. Brandon, do you want one?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Brandon, are you stoned?
No.
Okay, so everyone here is... Are you stoned, Anna Ray?
Only a little. I'm baseline.
Okay. Let's talk about cannabis.
I love cannabis.
So let's talk about everybody's introduction, because I was reintroduced to cannabis when it became legal in the state of California. And what I've discovered is that it's a much nicer way to go through life. Everybody's a lot less annoying. Everybody's a little bit more tolerable, and I'm able to sit still. It's helped me meditate, and it's helped me be less reactive. Brandon, you didn't start using drugs until you started working for me. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Tell us about that.
When I started, I wanted to get on Ambien, and you said no, that getting on a sleeping pill was not a good idea, and that I should just take like a bite of an edible before bed, and I really did not want to do that.
I like how he talks about getting on Ambien, like he's riding it. It's
well,
like...
Ambien
I want to get
can
on
be
that.
Incredibly dangerous.
Yeah,
too.
That's why I advised him against it, Sissy.
Right.
Thank
she
you.
She always knows
saving
best.
Saving his life, Sissy.
So I waited a few weeks and I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And then someone at work gave me a peach ring. And that was my introduction to it. I just took a little bite of this candy peach ring before bed and I melted into my pillows. Like it was the best feeling in the world. And I thought, Ambien can't possibly give you this feeling. So.
Well, you also don't remember it when you take the Ambien. Like you take the Ambien, you go to sleep, you wake up and
Ambien's for birds. It's the worst.
You don't know. At
I woke up with an empty pot of spaghetti in the driver's seat of a car.
Naked.
No, I had my clothes on, but I had my eye shades on, around my neck and I had an empty pot of spaghetti in my car in the passenger seat.
And you
I can't
had
cook.
No recollection.
And I don't apparently I went for a drive and I cooked spaghetti. So yeah.
Because we don't keep pasta in the house. So no. We had to
so
find
I
that
either
somewhere.
Had to get it to go and then went to a restaurant and cooked it. Who knows what happened? But all I know is that was the last time I took Ambien. Maybe one
but
more
now,
time after that.
I've turned people onto it through that same way that like if people are having a hard time getting to sleep, because it just puts you in a nice state before you fall asleep. Like it's not going to knock you out, but if you're ready to wind down at the end of the night, just take a little bite of an edible or a blueberry, the Kiva blueberries I really like, and that just puts you in a good sleep space.
It is. It's really calming, and I think people are afraid of it. They don't realize how much it can actually calm your system. I mean, it can also do the opposite if you don't, you know, if you misuse it. But I feel like now with how it's dosed and everything about it just is incredibly calming, and I think people really need to embrace that piece of it.
Yeah, I think everybody, you know, I had a problem with sleeping pills. I took them all the time. And the biggest thing for me was switching from sleeping pills to pot to go to sleep. So, Anna Ray, what are the biggest complaints you hear? Anxiety, sleeping, what?
Of the reasons people use cannabis, I think that people like to use cannabis to elevate their consciousness in all kinds of different ways. And it's just to open up and to level out. And so all the things that you're talking about being able to handle life better, that is absolutely what the average woman, I think, is really looking for.
And gay man.
And gay man.
It feels like women and gay men are on the same page about a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
we're one
and
the same.
We should band together, and men, and those men should just come with us.
And I mean, my husband's on my page. He's not gay, so I don't know where that puts him, but he's on our page. So I actually don't think that it's limited to gay men. Like, I think that there is...
No, cannabis is for everyone. That's one of the things that's so amazing, is that it crosses all demographics. When we have looked into who the cannabis consumer truly is, it really is everyone. It's not one age, one gender, one race. It's everybody. And that is something that I can't think of another product that crosses so many boundaries and can bring people together, can make people happy when they're alone.
Can heal.
Can heal. I mean, it basically is as good for you as fiber.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Avocados, fiber, cannabis.
Kale. Don't forget kale. Everybody loves kale. People can't get enough of this shit.
They've moved on to Brussels sprouts.
No, Brussels sprouts are already out. They didn't even stick around for very long. People are already over Brussels sprouts. Now it's cauliflower. So sick
that's
of all
true.
This fucking roughage. Anyway, I feel like a lot of my girlfriends have major anxiety about having an edible. People have this thing because everyone's been served a bad edible. Everybody's had been OD'd, you know, and been in a corner of a room. In my experience, I was in Mexico. I watched 6 of my family members just pass out in front of me, and I sat in the dark for 4 hours. So I know what a bad edible. That was a chewy chuba, and those were strong. And I like chewy chubas, but not with my family again, because they're pussies. What are you laughing at, sissy?
Your sister has a very different version of that story.
Oh, really? Yeah. I would like to hear it.
I mean, she acknowledges that the time she does it, that she doesn't necessarily like love it, but that she's always happy that she does it, and she always has fun and laughs. And
right.
then passes out.
Yeah.
So she has a
They're
different
weak.
Version.
My family's weak. And all the girls are weak to drugs. They have a low tolerance. And so you give them an aspirin and everyone, you know, looks at you sideways. So fuck them.
No, they're good people.
Well, I will say, you know your dosage.
Yes. When I know what people need.
When you're in a room with someone, you can tell me, like, when I got you those THC pills. Oh, sorry. We shouldn't say that, because she said she got them in Denver. When you got those THC pills and I saw them.
If these are the ones that you got me, that's fine to say. I don't know what I'm taking.
Yeah, she can't remember a thing because she's always stoned. But so I had given her the THC pills and I'd asked her how they were. She had taken them one day and she's like, I was off the walls. Like, this is great. I love this. And she goes, but you can't have one. You couldn't tolerate it. And I trust that. I know she knows what's best for me, just like anyone else. She's like, oh, you know, Mary should not have a blueberry, or so-and-so should definitely take
Mary
one
doesn't
of these.
Like, Mary doesn't like the weed. But most of my friends, everyone I know now takes edibles. Almost every, I mean, last night I was out with my friend's mom and she was like, bring the blueberries, the ones you're talking about that everyone loves.
What's so amazing is that now people can find their dose. And so you said that you got into this a couple years ago with legalization. I've been in cannabis for a long time. And 10 years ago, there was no such thing as dosing. And so that's why people have so much fear from edibles, is because everybody has a story of their friend from high school that made brownies and they were hiding under a sheet on the couch all night. But now that you have dosage, because we have a regulated cannabis marketplace, this is not the same thing. And when you're talking about a blueberry or an edible, like, you can depend on good products and you can find stuff in the market that that even if you're afraid to try the first time, maybe once you try it, you realize that it was a good experience and that you can go back and you can keep having the same experience because there's like consistency.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is a lot of times when people are reintroduced to it, they will take something like a blueberry or a small piece of chocolate and they'll say, like, I had a friend say, well, I don't feel any, like, I don't feel fucked up from this. And I think the whole point is that's not how you're supposed to feel anymore.
You're not supposed to feel fucked up unless you want that. You want to feel like you're taking the edge off.
Yes.
Sanding down the edges.
Sometimes I do really want to feel fucked up.
Well, then you take
me too.
Sometimes I'm like hiding in my front, you know, like
and then
my
you take
front
more.
Lawn. Yeah, because I'm like, oh God, it's been a day. But I think just to go back to what you're saying, and I think I see it in a really different perspective as someone who like grew up in Los Angeles and has been around this culture for a very long time. And like, you know, for me, I smoked a lot of pot in college and coming out of college. And then I did have kids and I did sort of take a break from it because I did have that fear that you're talking about because everything becomes greater when you become a mom, right?
Okay.
There's
all right.
so
just
much
calm,
more
just calm down.
To
we
lose.
Get it.
So for me, it was getting reintroduced. I got reintroduced to it when PAX came out with the vaporizers that you put the actual flower in the bottom of the vaporizer. And it was life changing. It, to your point, and to your point, it doesn't get me fucked up. It genuinely, I think, makes me better at everything in a good way, in a positive way, in the sense that, like, I have more patience. I can communicate better. I, you know, I see the world so much better in a more positive spin. I have, you know, more clarity all the time. And I think that, you know, I wish for all of, you know, people that I care about and that are in anyone that they can embrace it like that. Because if people keep having the stigma around it, and that's why I'm so excited for you to do this brand, because I think that people trust you. And I think that you have such, you've done, not on purpose, but you have done your research because it has impacted your life so positively that the authenticity that you bring to it and the conversation that you can bring to it, that you can get people to trust you, that it's actually going to benefit them in the long run is like really awesome. So I'm super excited, you know, to be able to watch that come into the marketplace and hopefully help other people.
Yeah. And I think there are different reasons for everybody, you know, like you're saying, like there is a time, you know, that THC capsule, like I was out to lunch with my friend. She was going through a hard time. We're sitting there and it hit me 2 hours after I had taken it. So I was, you know, driving along with my driver, Billy, and he drops me off at lunch. And so I was fine when I got there. And then halfway through, she's pouring her heart out to me and I was stoned out of my mind. And I was, this was just this weekend. And I was like, and finally she stopped. I was like, I just got to tell you, I'm super high right now. It just hit me. I took a capsule about 3 hours ago. I can hear you. I just want you to know, I don't know where this is going. And then I was able to enjoy myself because I knew the pressure was off. I didn't have to drive anywhere. You know what I mean? I was in a situation where I could be okay.
You're creating a safe space for yourself.
A safe space.
Which is what it's all about.
That is what it's all about. Like, I think you have to have like a mantra for yourself when you're getting stoned. A, I'm not going to be a fucking pig. And B, I'm in a safe space. Like, set an intention. You know how they talk about when you meditate and all of that stuff. You know, you can just say, I'm going to have a great time. And if you want to try something out for the first time, do it at your house where you're relaxed with people that you feel safe with and just try a half of whatever you really want to try and see how it affects you. And then the next night you can have a whole one if you liked it, or you can never do it again. But I think it's a really important to impress upon people to really, this is helpful to you and it's out there and it's ready for you to grab. The truth is there for you to grab.
There's
write
this,
that down, please, somebody.
Grab the truth.
Grab the truth grab the by truth. The balls. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's this idea of self-titration. What that means is being able to self-dose yourself. And one of the things that I really like about like vape pens or smoking flowers is that you feel it immediately. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to wait 2 hours like you did at lunch and like find yourself in some awkward spot. You can try it and then you can decide to like take another hit or take another hit after that because you feel it right away. And I think that's a really good entry point if someone feels comfortable with the vape and going through that process of inhaling something. And I know some people don't and they want to eat, which is cool. But I like to be able to feel it right away. So then I can make the choice of like, do I want to go deeper? Do I want to go one more time? Or am I good? And then you can just be like, cool, I'm good.
And also it doesn't last as long. When you take a hit of a weed off a vape, it's like 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
What is the time for that? Is there a time?
No, I mean, everyone is different, you know, like how much coffee you had and how much food you ate and how much you're sweating, all those things. It's like moving through your system.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. For me, I think 30 minutes sounds about right.
But that's also why edibles can be unpredictable for a lot of people is because it depends on what you've eaten, kind of what you have going on. And so it can be delayed or it can hit you right away and fade faster or you end up taking two because you're like, well, I haven't felt that yet, so I'll take another.
That's the mystery. Part of it, though, if you can get over that fear and just do it, that process in and of itself is good for you.
Well, I think that's the thing. Everybody has this like fearful nature about it if they're resistant to marijuana. Some people aren't. Some people are like, yeah, let's go full throttle. Some people are very fearful. And that fear will drag into your pot experience unless you release it and say, I'm not going to be fearful right now. This is fun. I'm at the beach. I can take a 5 milligram and handle it myself. I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
And it's just going to improve your beach experience.
And And who knows? Maybe you'll get on it.
The thing that I find to be always a conversation starter when it comes to cannabis and I'm at, you know, dinners with friends or with couples is I watch my friends drink after drink after drink and I'll have one to their like three.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I've, you know, either gotten stoned before I got there or gotten stoned while I was there or whatever it is. They wake up feeling like shit when they're drunk. It's not as cool. You say some stuff you probably wouldn't say when you were stoned. Like, it's not like...
Well, when you're stoned, you can't remember what you were going to say, so it works out perfectly.
Well, that's just in isolation to me and you.
Mm-hmm. That's our special time together. That's called A++ time.
We'll be like in deep conversations and she'll just be talking. I'll look at her and be like, what are we talking about?
And then I'll like, be like, I can't remember.
I don't know.
And then usually she pees at some point. I've stopped peeing, but she continues to pee. She peed on my hotel room floor in some city on my first weekend at tour. She peed. We were laughing so hard in my hotel room. We were
stoned.
That
is not a side effect of cannabis.
It's not.
It's a side effect of being a mother.
Having three kids and... and having Chelsea make you laugh way too hard.
Anyway, we were FaceTiming with her husband, and then she dropped Trown, fell on the floor, and I looked out from the bathroom. I was like, what the fuck is going on out there? And she's on the floor with her ass out, just urinating. I mean, it was really just a low point.
I don't think my ass was out. I don't think I could get my pants off.
Either way, your husband hung up.
He's like,
see you later, girls.
He's like, yeah, it looks like a work trip over there.
Yeah, boondoggles, what we call that. Anna, let's talk about, because we came up to Santa Rosa, where your headquarters are located, because we've been coming and brainstorming and getting my brand together, which is we're going to announce whenever we can, once we get our name trademarked. And you had like a party for us, which was so lovely. And you had CBD drinks, which for me, you know, I've been pivoting to cannabis rather than alcohol. I went through a phase where I realized I didn't have to do both at the same time. And then I just veered towards the cannabis. It was a perfect party for me because you had the cannabis drink, so you were getting stoned while you were drinking, which is genius, and that's what everyone's going to start doing in no time. But Sissy, you've seen firsthand me change my drinking, right?
Yeah.
You've seen me when I was
100%.
Well, tell us about that for people out there who are like me.
No, yeah. I mean, when I first met you, you were a heavy drinker. I think that you and that's what I love so much about you is that you're so open and vocal. Like you don't care what people think. You just want to share who you are and all those things. And you did that with liquor too. Like you would be like, I love my vodka and I'm going to drink vodka and it gets me drunk and I love it. And boom, that's that. And then when you kind of transitioned into this cannabis again, it was organic for you. It wasn't like you consciously were like, I'm going to switch to cannabis. It was kind of that perfect storm for you with cannabis and with therapy and with meditation. And they all played into each other. And because you were getting so much fulfillment from that piece of your life, like the liquor became less and less and less unintentionally. And yeah, you still have a drink here and there, but it's like me. I'm 1 to 3 compared to some of my girlfriends or, you know, anyone. And I think that it has had a massively positive impact on you. And I've noticed just how, I mean, I know you're going to laugh at me, but you're just softer because of it. I think you're softer partially because of the cannabis, but I think you're softer because you don't drink. So you're not like feeling shitty, right? Like you don't physically feel shitty.
Well, the best part is everyone saying, oh, wow, you look so great. And you start to drop weight and then that becomes addictive. So it's just vanity. I like to look good. Like, and as you age, you have to be careful with alcohol and then what it does to your skin and bloating.
Yeah, but you didn't even realize that until you stopped drinking.
No, everyone who drinks every day thinks that they're not a victim of that until you stop drinking and you're like, oh, I'm thin. It could be so much easier.
I don't know. I don't have that. I don't drink a lot and I'm not. So if you could figure that piece out for me, that'd be great. But yeah, I think that the transition that you've had from being a heavy drinker into now, you know, a casual social drinker has been a really positive thing for you and just your whole being.
So you can make amazing cocktails with cannabis.
Yeah.
And you can put alcohol in them, but you can also skip the alcohol.
Yeah.
And when you came and we had the party, we were doing like cucumber mint juice with tincture in it. And some people were putting tequila in it with the tincture and some weren't.
Oh, I would have done that had I known that was an option.
I think I did that.
Yeah, good for you.
But, you know, I think that alcohol and cannabis in one beautiful cocktail together is like the very best time ever.
Yeah, that's like an 8-ball.
Oh, it's amazing. But also, if you are going down the health path, it's like the idea of still getting to have a delicious, luxurious drink with your ladies. Like, we all want that. And if you can put a health elixir in it, one that is maybe going to like lift you a little bit but also be good for you.
Well, that's the thing, it's socially too. I'm so much better. Like I used to walk into social environments, whether it was for personal or professional, and I would just get like this and be like, oh my god, I would stumble and I wouldn't,
you know,
wouldn't want to do it. And now it's like I'm like, oh, I have to go to that work dinner, I'm gonna eat a blueberry before, and literally I could talk to any stranger in the room, but like actually have a conversation, not like, oh, she's stoned out of her mind, like having real conversations that lead to work and like great things. So it's just, it also really helps that, I think.
It definitely gets my creative juices flowing. if you just leave things alone and go about your day, like I get more creative and I get more bursts of like creative flows when I'm a little bit stoned too, you know? And even if you do get stoned to be creative, like people do that a lot. I haven't really done that, but I definitely polished up my book and like touched it up and punched it up when I was stoned. I'd always take an edible and go, okay, go write a funny chapter.
You came to Idaho last summer for a couple of weeks and did a lot of writing and like would have an edible and run off into the lake for 2 hours and come back with a book chapter.
Yeah, because I was writing in the water like she just described. I went off with a book and on the beach in the water in my typewriter, my desktop. Because so for mothers out there who are talking, we're talking about this, mothers who have to drive their kids around all day, you know what I mean? People who want to get a better understanding of, you know, what it's like to...
you're a mom.
I am.
And how many kids do you have?
I have one.
Yeah, I have
toddler.
I have a girl and a boy at home, Bert and Bernice.
Yeah. I have three boys who are currently 4.5, 7, and 9. So for me, it also really helped with my patience. Like after I had my third son, I mean, it was a fucking nightmare. I mean, who knew what time of day it was? Who knew who was which kid? Who knew who had like a diaper on and didn't. It was madness, and it's just escalated into more madness. It's beautiful madness, but it's madness at all times.
It's a Calgon commercial is what it is.
And you know, for me it made me such a better mom. Like it really, I know that sounds crazy, you guys. I know my friends laugh at me. I have some that can completely relate and they're like, I get it. I totally get it. And then I have some who like just laugh at me and think I've lost my mind. But at the end of the day, like, I have more patience. I enjoy the time with them so much more. Like, they could all be running around naked, peeing on floors.
And with their mom peeing.
And then all start peeing.
The whole family's peeing.
And like,
it's all good.
It's all good. Like, I'm just able to figure it out. Even if I have to get angry, like...
You're going to get angry when that pee turns into defecation and all of you guys are shitting in the house. And that's when you're going to really find your ground zero.
Literally, if that happens, then you need to take the cannabis away. Like, if I ever become okay with that, that's when... We need like a cannabis intervention. That's like, right. This is not acceptable.
Yeah, my word on that.
I would like to point out a recurring theme in these podcast episodes, which is shit. People shitting themselves.
I noticed that when I listened to the. Yeah.
Wait till you hear. Yeah, I know. It's just something that happens. And you know what? I'm not opposed to talking about shit because everybody deals with it.
So everybody Allison, poops.
Shit happens.
I was hanging out with four of my closest friends over the weekend. We had mom's spa day on Saturday. Nice. It was amazing. You should come next time. But. All of these women, none of them work in cannabis, and they're all moms, and they all were just telling me how cannabis has become this, like, key coping mechanism for their parenthood. And I'm not somebody that was, like, a before and after, because I've always had cannabis in my life, so it's hard for me to be like, oh, life was terrible before, and then I found it. I've just been maintaining for
a long time.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of an OG. But my girlfriends aren't that way, and they were all just, like, gushing to me about how much better they are at surviving their lives and their careers, which are every single one of these women. They're all the breadwinners in their households. They're moms. They're executives. They're badasses. Mm-hmm. And they all love weed.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yes, there's tons of new consumers and new women consumers that are coming. But I think also a lot of women just need to be like, hey, let's come out of the closet and admit that we're all into this.
That's what's so sad is that there like has to be an admission to it.
Well, that's why we're doing this though, because I want to empower and embolden women to be proud of their cannabis usage and take the power back.
Absolutely.
So, like, I think there is a difference though. There's a degree of like coping,
They don't have a problem being like, I'm going to drink a bottle of wine when I get home.
No, because wine's legal. Because we've been conditioned to think that alcohol
is legal now.
I know, but people need to warm up to the idea, and that's why we're doing
like
the Lord's work.
Like at my kid's school, to go back to your question, at my kid's school. They do this thing called Party Book, and so moms host all the, you know, and you go in and you sign up and you pay however much it is for a ticket, and then the moms host it, whatever. There's different books. So there's tons of wine nights, like tons of them for mom wine nights, and I'm like, let's do a mom cannabis night, and they're like, you're not allowed. And I'm like, huh?
Yes, you are. Just do
it.
Yeah,
just do it.
Yeah, well, no, I guess with schools, no. But see, that's why I'm not a mom, because I would have started that a long time ago with my little babies.
No, you got to be respectful, but there will be a day that it will be legal. I understand or that it will be accepted. I understand that it's still so new and people are still like trying to grasp it.
Well, so I grew up in the 80s and 90s in San Francisco, and it was this huge movement about normalizing gayness, right? And people kept talking about it was the time that everyone was coming out of the closet, and that everyone said that the thing that normalized gayness the best is when the person that works next to you in a cubicle turns to you and says, hey, you might not know, but I'm gay. And they're like, oh, but you like coffee and sandwiches just like me. Mm-hmm. And it's like this complete normalizing of like, oh, this person that I relate to or that I sit next to at my cubicle is actually different and is of a does something that I didn't realize was something that was normal for me. And in some ways, I think, Chelsea, what you're doing with cannabis is similar. You are loudly coming out of the closet, and there's all these people that listen to you and read your books, and they're like, oh, well, she's someone that I see myself in, and I relate to her, and she's into cannabis, so maybe cannabis is normal after all. So I think a lot about the time that we are in the cannabis evolution, and the story of the plant is about the coming out time, kind of like the 80s and 90s.
That's like, a good analogy.
I like coming out. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's a good way to say it. Everybody needs to come out. Come out for cannabis. Well, let's talk about, though, because there's a difference between escapism and coping. Like, coping is a one way, you know, one thing that people need to do. And then there's when you do, like, when you and I do want to get blottoed, there's, you know, we ramp it up and we go smoke a joint, you know, and sit outside underneath the stars caressing each other on the lower back, the small of our backs. But that's escapism. Coping with a situation is like a situation where I have to go into a meeting that I know I'm going to be bored at, that I take a blueberry or I take a hit of my vape, so just so that I am a little bit more patient with how long things take and how long people seem to talk.
That's like motherhood. Think about that.
Right.
It's well, the same
which
thing.
Is why I'm not cut out for it and which is why I opted out. And
it's not too late.
Thank you. That would be one hell of a baby that I would take to full term. And then there's also just kind of the people who suffer from social anxiety. And what I wanted to piggyback on what you were saying was, I've never had social anxiety, but I went through a period of time where I was anxious going, like I was gone for a year and I came back and I just started going to all these events with friends to catch up with people. And I remember having social anxiety at that point because I had been removed from my like circle for so long. And I remember going to all these events and being like, oh my God, I feel nervous. Like I feel like antsy. And it is true that you don't feel the need to make small talk as grossly as you do when you're stoned. You know what I mean? You're okay with the silence. You're okay with talking to somebody and not drilling them with questions because you're nervous about silence. You're able to sit with strangers and have normal, calm conversations from weed, I think. And it with the social anxiety part of it, I think it helps people not be in their head so much. What do I say? What do I do? Where do I talk to? Where do I sit?
It's just also a lot more digestible to be on the receiving end of it as well. Like you got to think of it from both sides, right? It's funny you just said that because I literally just wrote down small talk. I said to my mom the other day, she was like, are you going to come with me to this thing? And I was just like, no, I'm not. And she's like, why? And I was like, well, two reasons. You know, one, I already have something I can't get out of. And two is like, I've just kind of evaluated the fact that we all live such busy lives and they're all just getting busier, right? Like everything, whether it's work, whether it's being a mom, whether it's friendships that you have to maintain, you know, anything. And so I have very little free time to myself, like to my actual self, right? Like between my job and my husband and my kids and my family and everything.
My husband wants to have sex with her all the time.
Anyway, this is about cannabis, not sex. We can talk about sex on a different episode if you want. But my point is that I literally had this realization where I was just like, my time is so limited, so I want to make sure that I'm doing things with people that make me feel good and people that I actually want to talk to. Because it's becoming harder and harder to go to stuff and actually have conversations with people who are lovely people and who I like and who are wonderful, but the small talk where they're just basically talking to me about my Instagram feed. And they're like, oh, I saw that you went on this vacation. How was that? And, you know, I see this and da da da. And it's just like, gosh, you know, I know everyone's coming from a good place, but it's hard. And so when you're stoned and you're in those situations, you just embrace those conversations.
Yes, that's what
and
it is. You lean in.
You just embrace them and then you actually get more out of them and you enjoy them more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess whoever's listening, anytime they see me, just know I'm really stoked.
The world is a crazy place. But, we're all just trying to survive.
But I'm enjoying our conversation a lot
sister,
more.
Simone and I were up at that Wisdom 2.0 conference that I did with my psychiatrist a few months ago in San Francisco. And we went to the dinner because my guy was like, Dan said, come to the dinner. There's going to be a lot of, you know, all of the speakers are going to be there. And I was speaking. So I went to the dinner. And right before we walked in, Simone and I popped an edible. And then we split up. And then when I saw her at the end, I was like, oh, I saw her like 2 hours later. I was like, oh, hey, let's go. I'm done. And she was like, I'm really stoned. And I was like, that's so funny. I was looking for you because I'm not stoned at all. Again, another indicator that my tolerance has gotten too high. But we when we left, I mean, the way that it affects you differently. I mean, but it was a perfect buzz. She goes, I'm really stoned. I'm having a great time. Let's go out. You know, it makes you want to be social.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes some people revert, they want to be stoned and go home and be alone. That's good. But there's a social aspect to marijuana too. And there's strains that actually kind of trigger being social. And I want to talk to you about the Anna Ray, about the THC. You're being very quiet, Brandon.
Do
you have stomach cramps or something?
No. Are we on our period?
We are.
Oh, okay.
No sutures.
I may.
We.
We're on the same cycle.
Oof.
We've linked
brutal.
Up.
I have a question. For anyone who's listening, because again, I'm a relatively new user, but I think that CBD has kind of been a good gateway for a lot of people getting into THC, that it's like a touch point, like, oh, well, I'm drinking this CBD water, and then they get introduced to the THC aspect. So for anyone listening who doesn't know the difference between those, Anna Ray, can you tell them what the differences are?
Sure. I'll certainly try. So the idea is that there are a whole lot of cannabinoids in the cannabis plant, in the flower, which is what we make all the products out of. And we've heard of THC and CBD. Those are the cannabinoids that are some of the most prevalent and popular. There's over 100 cannabinoids in cannabis. But THC is the one that gets you really high.
When you say really high, you mean like changes your mental state?
Yeah, you know, like I want to be careful of, because I'm not a doctor or a scientist.
I'm a doctor.
Chelsea's the doctor. And people, because I work in cannabis, they love to ask me what they should be doing to make them feel better. And I mean, I think cannabis is the solution for everything, but I am not a doctor, so I should say that.
I would also like to say that I'm not a doctor.
but so, you know, when the psychoactive experience that you have when you consume cannabis often comes from THC.
Okay.
But then there's other things that might be affecting your body from the other cannabinoids that you don't feel, but that are positive. And CBD is one of the cannabinoids that can provide someone lots of positive benefits that they may or may not feel. So CBD is anti-inflammatory, and it really helps people that have pain often. And sometimes people that have sleeping problems talk about using CBD as something that just helps them to relax. But, you know, if I have a cocktail that I put CBD in, I don't feel anything from it at all.
Nothing.
Zero.
Just because we're active cannabis?
No, it's because research? CBD does not have any psychoactive effects that come as a result of it. You know, you got to think about it in that it's really hard to separate one cannabinoid from the other. So usually when you get a product, it might be high in CBD, but it still has some THC in it. And so you're going to get high from the THC, get that feeling.
That CBD, though, activates the THC, right?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Oh, I thought I heard that at one of our meetings. I think I've heard that. Yeah, we'll check on that.
Yeah.
But and then the THC, so why it's hard to isolate a strain. For instance, the THCV is the strain that I'm drawn to because it suppresses your appetite. And it's kind of like pot's answer to Adderall is how I would describe it. And it works for me. It decreases my appetite, but it's hard to get it alone. You have to mix it with other things to activate it, correct?
Yeah, because it comes from a plant, right? And so it isn't actually a strain. There's many different strains that might have THCV in it, but that plant that has THCV in it is also going to have THC, it's going to have CBD, it's going to have CBG and CBN and all these other letters that are all these
different
cannabinoids.
And what is CBG? Do you know what CBG is?
It is another cannabinoid.
It's a great name for a band.
Nice. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what the effects are. That's one of the things, you know, cannabis is so new. There are so many studies that have yet to be done.
And that's why everybody should wade in carefully, right? Like everyone should come in now that you have a microdosing possibility. I know this isn't available everywhere in the country yet, but it will be because everyone's realizing now that there's no turning back and Republicans can even make money from this. But you can just enter the marketplace. I mean, there are mints available like where we live for 2.5 milligrams, those Petra mints, which are great, especially for skiing, right, Brandon?
Oh,
we
ski
together on those. Because you're not fucked up, but it's a little bit of an uptick for mm-hmm. me, especially if you're in an environment, if you're outdoors. It's whatever you make it is what I would how I feel about cannabis. Like if I want to go to bed, then I'm in that mindset to go to bed. I don't rely so much on the indica versus sativa. I find that to be kind of misleading.
It is, absolutely.
Well, I think, so there are a lot of, what we're talking about, there are a lot of words associated with cannabis that people might not know or might have been given misdirection on. So to Chelsea's point, sativa and indica, those are two different strains that people often look at like on the packaging for an edible or whatever that is supposed to give them an indication of the feeling that they'll get. But that's not often the case.
Yeah, and so they're not really strains.
Horny.
They're type of plants, right? They're categories, they're families.
Right.
And so they don't give you the effects that people think. People think, indica, couch lock, sativa, upper.
Right.
It's just not like that.
But like when we were skiing, for instance, I would take a Petra, he would take one, they're 2.5 milligrams, and you're up.
It feels great.
You feel upbeat, you're happy, you have more energy because you're surrounded by the mountains and that's the vibe that you're gonna get, lean into.
Well, I think to your point is that if you're already in that mindset where we wanted to be out skiing, we were already having a good time, it just elevated us.
Yeah. You were being enhanced.
Yes.
But that's what cannabis does, period, across the board. Right.
So whatever state you're in,
whatever state, it just—it's
like when I gave Chunk a sleeping pill on his flight to Spain, and he was in a state of agitation. I later found out, so he was in a constant state of agitation. Excuse me, Brandon. He was in a constant state of agitation after I gave him the pill. So that didn't work out for him.
No.
So if you're in a bad mood and you take pot, it's probably just going to be more bad on bad. You know what I mean? You should be in a...
I don't agree with that. Yeah. I'll be in a bad mood and I'll be like, I just got to get stoned.
Well, if you're stressed.
And then I'm happy.
Yeah, that's
true. Even when was it? The other day, I was like, I have a really bad headache and I'm just grumpy. I'm going to smoke a joint. And it turned me around and it turned my day around.
Cannabis just
isn't
a depressant.
It's
not. So if you're agitated about something with the kids or with work or you're stressed, it really does just take the edge off. It kind of puts you back to center, and you can deal with a lot more that way.
Do you have kids, Brandon?
Well, I feel like I have one sitting next to me.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But Chelsea, with the products, I think that all these questions you have are the same kind of questions that everyone has. People are confused about cannabinoids, then people are talking about
potency. I was pronouncing
it
cannabinoids. Is that wrong? Are you saying it the right way?
I don't know. I think I'm saying it the right way, but someone else probably thinks I'm saying it the wrong way. So
okay, so either way,
yeah,
cannabinoids.
Yeah, I'm not judging you. Hopefully you're not judging me.
No, I'm judging myself, actually, which is where I'd like to stay.
Well, another important part of, not to go back to your brand, but something that I've really enjoyed getting to see the brand be built is your emphasis on education for people who are getting reintroduced. Because like you said, a lot of people have a bad experience early on and then they don't know how to get back into it, or they're hearing inaccurate information. And so that's something that's been at the forefront for you, is anyone who is interested in getting back into it, the packaging, the way things are described, giving them an accurate representation to help them reintroduce themselves in a way that they're not going to turn on it again.
Yeah, you want to feel safe. I want people to feel safe. I don't want people to feel scared because it's just, yeah. Okay, well, this sounds like a good time to take a break.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And what's so cool is how actively involved you are in putting the product vision together.
Yeah.
This is not a celebrity endorsement. This is you spending an enormous amount of time with our team trying to figure out exactly what we want to launch together. It's authentic, which has been a really fun process to get to be a part of.
Yeah, it has been really fun. It's been fun to take, because like Allison said, you know, with the therapy, with the pot, with all of it kind of works together, the meditation. I mean, you don't really meditate, Allison, right?
I don't meditate.
No, but I mean, Brandon just started meditating. Yeah. Maybe we'll do a couples meditation later, Brandon, we have the whole day. But I think all of it goes together. Like, even good. Dan, my psychiatrist, is like, I just love you on the pot. It's softer. It's gentler.
I have to be honest. I love you on the pot.
Mary says it, too, and Mary always tells the truth.
I could tell there was, like, the past a few weeks ago, you weren't on the pot as much, and there was a visible difference. Mm. Right, Brandon?
Yeah, it was when she had to take a little break because of her cough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got sick, and so I couldn't smoke anymore. And
I was
that
like,
was,
is she okay? What's going on?
Yeah, I was irritable.
We were
but
at the
that's
house.
Not good either. I have to be able to. This is what Dan tells me. He says, Chelsea, if you can maintain that level of happiness and contentment when you're stoned, it's already in your psyche, so you should be able to access that on any day without the pot. And what I want to say to Dan is, I'm not there yet.
But you're working towards it, mm-hmm. and you will get there.
Mm-hmm.
You will.
Thank
Maybe
you.
People like me or Brandon need to remind you when you're not on the pot and you're starting to not show those signs that you need to.
I'll shoot you a text. You can handle that.
You shoot me a text. I'll Marco Polo.
Why don't you shoot me the text, and that way we can just deal with it.
I'll just be on an errand when that happens.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But the other morning we were at the house. NorCal had sent all the samples, and there were, I don't know how many.
Like 500 pens now. Yeah. No, there were 50. I'm picking the flavors right now for everybody. So I'm picking the flavors that I think, well, I want to pick the flavors that I like first and foremost so that whatever, you know, applies to one person applies to many. But we're going to do a limited release. So I have to like nail down the real flavors I like. And so there's a lot of contenders.
With all of these flavors that you were testing, we were sitting at the counter and they sent us a bracket to narrow down what her top picks were. Well, so this is 9 in the morning. We're sitting here and we're going through the bracket, tasting all the flavors. And we spent the entire day together. We went to lunch. We hung out in the afternoon.
It was Brandon's favorite day ever.
It was the best day. I'm like, this is how every day should be. If everyone just woke up and had a little cannabis.
I have a full day, but I have no other time to taste all these pens and to do the flavors. I'm like, I'm just going to have to get stoned right now. And sure enough, turned into a great victory that day.
I got it. I love those days.
Yeah. So
I'm going to have one of those today.
Yeah.
It's hard to judge products all at once because you can't tell how they individually affect you. Last month, I was a judge for the High Times Cup and I received 28 1-gram samples of flower, and I was supposed to say which one was the most delicious or which one was the most effective. And after about 3, it's kind of hard to
You're
tell
like,
them
they're all
apart.
Great.
They're all so effective.
Yeah.
So how did you space it out throughout the day so that you could tell the difference?
Well, this was just a flavor test. We only tested for flavor, right, Brandon?
Right. Yeah.
And so this wasn't a high test, so I could just do it back to back to back to back.
But she got very high, just to clarify.
Yeah. Well, I will say the day before was when we had the meeting with the NorCal team and when they had brought those down and you and I had, and it was an end of day meeting, but I had somewhere to be after.
Uh-huh. I did not.
No, you did not.
Our meetings have turned into.
And she was like, just try this flavor. Just try this flavor. I'm like, oh gosh. Yeah. Okay. But it ended up working out great.
I'm really into Jolly Ranchers. You know, I love green apple and I love blue raspberry, like all those fake flavors, but they taste so good.
Not for me.
No, I know. Mm-hmm. That's not for everybody. So I've got to get away from my saccharin.
I think it's hard when you're designing a product too, to get away from, like, we're all so self-centered in our lives. Of, that what I like is the very best thing.
Right.
Now everyone's going to like it. And I'm sure you're probably going through that as well. Of what's the difference between the thing that I like and what everyone else will like the best?
I'll say the samples were the one thing, though, that normally I can pick out what she would like based on her history. And a lot of the flavors she picked, I was surprised by. That I think more people will enjoy them than just what she would gravitate towards. So I think that says a lot, too. Cannabis doesn't always translate to, like, your other tastes or your other preferences, because it is a different experience. Like, smoking something or, you know, having a nibble of something is a lot different than gorging.
Yeah, and I also don't like... I mean, I'm moving away from, I love the edibles. That's where I started. That was my entry point. Now I'm moving into the vape pens, but I get a little wheezy when I smoke. I think I might have emphysema or onset something. I don't know. Last night I was in bed breathing funny, so I don't want to make sounds when I breathe. I'm just like, I'm not ready for that. Sissy smokes a lot of the joints. And
I
you
do.
Don't smoke joints yet, right, Brandon? No, you're not there yet?
I smoke a lot of joints.
He's still flowering.
I don't like the process of smoking a joint.
I don't like the process either. I don't like the ashtray. I don't like, I'm never going to finish a whole joint. So I'm going to put it out and then leave it there. And then what? I have to cover it.
Well, that's why we're creating sustainable packaging for your brand.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's somewhere to put it.
Right. You could put it inside of yourself if you want to.
That
also is not medically recommended.
I don't know. It's not even about the task for me. It's just more about the product. It's not that I don't like the vape pens. I do. I'll use them when needed, you know. But like if I'm in an environment where I'm like, oh, I need to get a little bit more stoned, I'll smoke on a vape pen because that's what is there. But if I can always smoke a joint, I do, just because I prefer the product and I prefer the flower and I prefer the high. It also keeps you stoned for longer.
How long does a joint keep you stoned for?
Just depends on how much of the joint you smoke and what, you know, if it's a strong flower, mild flower.
But you could be stoned for like an hour on a joint, right?
Oh, yeah.
And there's something old school and secret about the act of sharing a joint with someone.
Yeah.
Because before, when we would get stoned, when it was illegal, and everyone smoked pot at some point, and if you haven't, then I don't know what your problem is, but... Like the last time I smoked pot, I was living in LA, I was living in Santa Monica. I got really, you know, you don't know what you're smoking, so you don't know what it's laced with or what kind of weed it is. And usually it was fine, but you'd always get some stuff that was really shitty, you know, or tastes like parsley or whatever they did in high school. And I remember driving home from Santa Monica, I was high as a kite, 2:30 in the morning, so paranoid, and driving on that street, California, that runs parallel to Wilshire, and just... being convinced that a police officer was behind me. And I was like going from street to street. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And you know, that paranoia grip is so scary. And you're just like, I'm such a loser. I pulled over to the side of the road on like 23rd Street, got out of my car, hid in a bush for 4 hours because I was waiting for the cop to pass me.
For 4 hours.
And I was like, you know what? This is no way to live. I was 22 waitressing, and it was just a typical night for me to be sleeping in the bushes anyway. But like, I at that point, I was like, no, I'm not doing this. My neck hurts because I'm so fucking stressed from like looking out like a crackhead. But a lot of people talk about their paranoia and their level of paranoia when they smoke weed. So let's discuss that and how to avoid it.
Yeah.
Because that also is coming from a fearful place.
It is. And I'll still sometimes get paranoia. Like I called you not that long ago and I was like, oh my God, Sissy, I got way too stoned tonight. Remember? And you were don't get in your head. You're fine. Like, I think that, you know, that's going to, I don't know. Anna Ray can speak more to maybe the science behind why that happens to, you know, with cannabis. But what I always tell myself, and I've worked on this, is at the end of the day, I'm like, you're fine. Enjoy it. Like, you're going to be okay. You're going to be fine. And when you're in those circumstances where you're feeling paranoid or vulnerable, just switch up the circumstance. Like, you know, I recently got in a car after dinner one night and I was like, ooh, I think I'm too stoned to drive. And I pulled over and I didn't drive until I felt really like I was totally fine. I think that was the same night that I called you.
It was. I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to wait for you to come around on that. I knew it's the same situation.
Yeah, but you have to be like, you're like, there's just also to be, you can be responsible. Like, you can control those situations of paranoia, and they happen less and less and less and less and less.
Well, like, as soon as you get more comfortable with yourself, you become less paranoid. So we all have those issues of it. It's not like anybody's immune from it. It's just more people are more
susceptible. But can I tell you something? And Rich always says this to me, and I have more paranoia if I go out and I get wasted, right? Mm. And I'm in a social environment amongst friends or acquaintances or whatever it is. I wake up the next day more paranoid.
About what you said?
About what did we say? What did I say? What did I do?
Did I say goodbye?
Forget any of it. But like, you know, whereas that paranoia to me is such
it's the worst feeling. It's the worst to wake up and not know what the fuck you
did. Yeah. And like, that does not happen if you get too stoned, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
nothing happens. That's how you know nothing happens, because you were stoned and you didn't do anything.
Totally.
I think that legalization helps with paranoia too, because I think so much paranoia has come from people feeling like they were doing something wrong. And then you get elevated and lifted, and then you're like, oh my God, this is wrong. I'm doing something illegal. Oh my God. And now people don't have to feel that anymore. Yeah. And that, I think, already,
I think that's
like,
for you, the OG
pressure.
Professional. I think for because you probably are a very high functioning cannabis user, whereas for the people who aren't high functioning cannabis users, like, they don't know how to work through the times of when that paranoia hits. Like, that's when it becomes, I think, a little bit of the fear that comes into it.
And I think in so many ways, the process of being paranoid, the process of like being really high, are not bad in the end. It's just once you get through it and get out on the other end, like, hopefully some of the cobwebs are cleaned out a little bit up in your brain.
Totally.
Like, I think about that, of all of the pathways in our brains that are the patterns that we get caught up in. And sometimes substances, whether it's cannabis or psychedelics or meditation, all of these things are like creating new pathways in our brains. And that just opens up more choice for us to be able to experience the world differently and to feel better about ourselves as humans.
And it's confidence, right? It's just when you start to have that paranoia, that just means that your confidence is impaired a little bit. And so, you know, I've always worked through it in continuing, like, if I get into that zone where I start to go to dark places, like, oh my God, there's a ghost in your house, you know? Like,
well, that's so stupid.
I go to like paranoia places.
Seriously. Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
But, I mean, you know, I do actually, but I don't believe in them haunting
me. But no, but I'm or like, I'm afraid there's going to be an earthquake or whatever, like whatever paranoia.
You know, like when Rich was gone hiking a few weeks ago with Sydney, he went hiking with her eldest. And he did fall off a bridge on that trip. So that was traumatic. So, but he was gone and didn't call her
didn't have service.
Fell
off a bridge. Well, maybe that was mother's intuition.
It was. So let's just not talk about it, because
it's a sensitive subject. But she got really, you did get in a state. Oh, but you were right. So that's not a good example, because you were right about your hunches.
At the end of the day, like I said, I think that the paranoia comes with confidence. Like, I have found that I get less and less and less and less and less, almost to the point of no paranoia now when I get stoned, because I am confident in
your ability to get stoned.
My ability to get stoned, but just how to work through it. Like, when that paranoia starts to trigger in my head, I really have been able to work through it, and probably because of the cannabis, to be honest with you.
Well, I think a lot of the confidence that you're talking about comes from knowing your limit too. Yeah. So you have to test. Sometimes you have to go over what you should, because you have to learn, like, okay, that threshold for me is too far. Like, I can't hit that joint this many times, or I can't take this many edibles. So you have to have those moments of lack of judgment to realize, like, okay, this is a good level for me. Just like drinking, like, okay, I can't have 6 vodka sodas. Like, I need to stick to, this is my comfort level for a good buzz.
It is. It's hard though. It's funny, because you get to a place where you start to, when you're drinking less, you start to notice how much more everyone else is drinking. And I don't like to be in that position. I don't want to be judgy about people. So, like, you have to really back it up. Because when people, especially my friends, are like, what do you do? Oh, are you drinking now? Are you not drinking? What are you doing? I'm like, I always have to tell everyone, I'm stoned. Don't worry. I'm on your level. I'm just stoned. Like, I'm here with you. because my friends are drinkers, a lot of them, and they are they're you know probably worried that what.
I'm just thinking when we were.
Are you thinking of my Brentwood Housewives group?
Well, that too. That was
Brendan is
a
very
for me.
Very sensitive about me becoming a Brentwood housewife.
I think it's just like this transition. Like she's just gonna wake up one day and be a Brentwood housewife, or she's gonna have a husband there. I don't know. She's gonna have kids, and she's gonna be unbearable. I mean, those women.
Yeah, I know.
Most of them, not all of them.
Brandon, I've had some Brentwood parties at my house for friends. I have a lot of friends that are Brentwood moms, and
I am technically a Brentwood mom.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
My kids go to Brentwood.
So I have to not be defined by that, Allison. Nothing defines me.
But you know what I was really laughing about?
I define
Jesus
me.
Maybe
Christ.
You can redefine the Brentwood mom.
She's going to have to with her weed line. That's what's going to happen.
Well, that's what we're working on.
Aren't we
donating
to that school in Brentwood? Isn't that a Brentwood? Maybe I am a Brentwood mom.
I'm the one who I go. I'm the one who goes to the party, the party books with my girlfriends, and I have some wonderful, wonderful girlfriends that go to our Brentwood moms that I adore and I love so much. And I'm always the one like, who wants a bean? Who wants a joint? Who wants a vape? And they all look at me. They're like, we wish we could be as open as you are with it and like embrace it the way that you do. You know, one of my closest friends, mom of three boys, has her own business, and she is just so petrified to take that jump and
well, send her over to my house. I'll get her on the straight.
Trust
and
me, I've tried, and her husband is an active cannabis user too. And like, I'm like, I promise you, it will change your life for the better. And she knows it. She knows it.
I would like to do a retreat where we just take a bunch of women who are just tight assed and need to relax. You know what I mean? They need to chill out for a weekend, and we just get everybody fucking stoned.
Have
and
you
just
heard
sit
about
there.
Ganja yoga?
Ganja yoga is where you lost me. I'm not there yet.
All right. Well, maybe that should be our launch party for the brand.
I do work out high now, too. So that's something I've transitioned into doing.
I don't work out high. I also don't go to work high. That I have a hard, like.
Except for today.
This I don't consider working.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
Whenever I'm with you, it's not considered working. It's so much fun. That's the thing is, like, you have to be responsible at the same time. I run a business. I have three kids. Like, I have to be wise and be responsible, which I feel like I try very hard at that. So I don't go to work stoned ever. I put boundaries on it. I make sure that it's in a safe place in my house. We lock it up in lock boxes so that my kids can't get to it. You know, like we are responsible cannabis parents.
And we're out. We'll be back next Thursday with a new episode responsible of Life Will Be the Death of Me.
Consciously cannabis.
And Brandon.
Okay, Brandon, do you want to add anything at the end of this podcast? I know you always like to have the last word, like Lawrence O'Donnell.
I do. You know, just that the information that everyone got in the podcast just kind of grazes the surface, but a big part of your cannabis line is going to be continued education or enhanced education.
Enhanced educative and an educative component, because I think that's what's missing. And that's what helped me really launch into cannabis in terms of being a user. And, you know, now I've gotten a little carried away, so I've got to dial it back. But there's just so much out there to try. But I want people to know exactly what they're taking, what time of day to take it, what are the circumstances so that you can have like a good experience every single time to get your head on straight. There is going to be an educative component because I want transparency to be key in this brand. And I, you know, always want everyone's feedback. And yeah, that's it. I'm coming to do stand-up shows. We added second shows to Vancouver, to Toronto, Indianapolis. And to Grand Rapids, Michigan, where my other sissy lives. And I'm coming to New Zealand, and I'm coming to Australia, to Brisbane and Sydney and Melbourne, and I'm coming to Auckland, and that's in 2 weeks. So if you don't have tickets to that, please get them. You can get tickets at livenation.com, and you could go to my Countable page. You could follow Emily's List on Twitter, on all social media platforms to look for progressive candidates to back. And we only have a couple of episodes of this podcast left. So I am going to schedule a very big surprise. It'll be a surprise. Bye.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Life Will Be the Death of Me is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.